Welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. I am your co-host, Kelly Scar. We are here today with Todd Foster, the other co-host, as well as Ben Fairfield. And today we're going to actually be interviewing Ben Fairfield, talking about our interactions with him, how we actually came to meet Ben, and his journey along business and life. Ben, welcome to your show.
That's good seeing you guys. I have to tell on you and me. We've been recording now for 10 minutes and 52 seconds. And we have about 14 seconds of usable content. So always a pleasure hanging out with you guys. I was just saying that, but I want to make sure we're being authentic here, that we have a lot of fun. So good seeing you guys.
So Ben, not that we don't know who you are, yet many people may not know who you are. Without getting too long about your life story, can you give us your life story in a short version, yet a long version as well?
Yes. So once I was an embryo. I'm just joking. So yes, Todd. My background is in aviation. Guidance counselor never told me about Success Magazine, never told me about anything that I would be doing later in life. So I went to flight school. September 11th happened, changed the course of my world at that point because the industry changed a lot. And I left college with a Bachelor of Science in Aeronautics, certified as an air traffic controller, and ended up just leaving with a very expensive few pieces of paper that are hanging on the wall. So at that moment, I came back here. I was set to go to Chicago O'Hare and personally did not want to move to Chicago. I was born and raised in North Idaho. I love it here. I love the outdoors and knew I needed to figure out a way to stay here yet make the money that I wanted to make and have the trajectory of success that I wanted to have. So long story short, real estate came into my life. It's never been in the past for me. Nobody in my family's ever sold real estate or been involved other than developing it before. So found that was my path, jumped into that in 2005 and been doing it ever since. So that then led to running real estate brokerages, building large real estate brokerages, which led to other special projects, which ultimately led to how I met both of you. So Kelly and I, years ago, I don't even remember how long ago it was, Kelly, but we met on Twitter. Like we were tweeting and we saw that we were tweeting similar stuff. We saw that we both were fans of the best football team in NFL history, the Green Bay Packers. Go Pack. And so
13 championships.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Scoreboard.
Go Bears. So, go Bears.
Go Bears. Well, it's better than a friend of ours, Raiders addiction. So we met, we actually turned, going back and forth on Twitter into an in-person meeting, and we've been friends ever since. And Todd Foster, we met through the Keller Williams days and worked together for some time. And ultimately, that's how we all kind of connected. And so, I was doing that last gig and we built a large real estate team across the country in 23 states. And it was good. And I just got tired of traveling. 2019, I had 72 airplane rides and I just got tired of being away from home. So decided to kind of do a reset and just settle back into selling real estate here. I was born and raised in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and so went that direction and was doing my thing, having good success. And early this year, January, I got a phone call from a guy named Don Hobbs, who's also going to be a guest in the future on this, who's incredibly successful in his own right. And he called me and didn't call him back. And, I just wasn't in the mindset of looking for anything or wanting to talk to anybody about anything. I just was keeping my head down, doing my thing. And I was driving with my wife and I get this voicemail and I'm listening to it on the Bluetooth in the truck. And it's Don Hobbs. And he said, "Hey, Fairfield, I can call Tony Robbins and get a call back in 15 minutes. It's taking you 3 weeks. Call me." And she looked at me and she started laughing. She's like, "You probably should call him back." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll call him back." I didn't know what it was about. And that's when he then told me that Glenn Sanford, who owns eXp Realty, had just purchased Success Magazine, that he had brought Don on as president of the company, and that they wanted to talk to me about the possibility of building a coaching company underneath that umbrella. And that was an incredible call to get. I didn't know that was even happening. I had no idea that any of this was in the works. But I've been subscribed to Success for a number of years. The magazine has definitely meant a lot to me. And I'm a big fan of Napoleon Hill, who, trace it back, the origins of the magazine, it's him. And so all this coming together turned into an opportunity that I couldn't pass up, that we get to be stewards of this brand that's 124, next year, 125-year-old brand in personal development. And we get to build a coaching company underneath that legacy. And so I accepted, and that's what we're doing. And as soon as I got over there, these two yahoos and a few others were some of the first phone calls I made. And I'm just happy and lucky enough that you guys were both crazy enough to say yes and come on this journey as we're figuring out what this is to become and what it looks like.
I want to back up just a little ways here back into the kind of beginnings of your story. You had mentioned that real estate had come into your life, right? So you were in university to become an air traffic controller, which is essentially, you know, an employee. I'm assuming that, you know, you entered university straight out of high school, probably had worked, you know, multiple jobs throughout high school, you know, after high school, going into university, you were essentially an employee, right? And so you decide to make this shift. And how did real estate enter your life? And how did the mindset shift happen for you going from an employee mindset to an entrepreneur mindset?
Yeah, man, it's a good question. So everyone in my family was employee, right? That was just the way it was. And it was very much the mindset that a lot of people have and that they were raised in of you go to school, you get a job, you get a pension or retirement, and then you relax for a few years before you kick the bucket, right? Like that was the mentality. And so that was just the path I was going down because that's what I knew. And so I worked at the resort golf course. The Coeur d'Alene Resort is a big, like, iconic resort here. They have a golf course attached. I worked for them when I was 14. I got a job when I was really young and worked all the way through high school and college for that company. And that's actually what led me to go down the path of aviation because the gentleman who's since passed, who owned the company, had a Gulfstream 5 and it was the opportunity was presented, go get your pilot's license, get your training, come back. And in that time, the chief pilot would be retired and you could jump into that seat and be the pilot. So for an Idaho boy, that sounded like a pretty cool gig, right? Get to live here and fly Gulfstream 5 around the country. And that was awesome. And so that was the path. Then that moment is September 11th, which we all know where we were and all those things, like it changed everybody's life. It wasn't just me, of course, but in that moment, everything changed. And so even still, to your point, I was still thinking employee. So it's like, okay, what can I do to change, pivot, shift in the moment to still stay, you know, close to the trajectory I was heading down. And so that's where I stayed back an extra summer and got that second degree. So ultimately, when I came back, I was looking at the prospect of having to live in Chicago, which again, I'm not from the Midwest. I'm from here. I'm from the Northwest, right? And so I like the Northwest. And the idea of moving didn't excite me. The idea of the job I would be doing didn't excite me. However, it was a job. So I found myself at this crossroads. I think a lot of people listening probably have found themselves in as well of this is the path that's safe, but it doesn't necessarily lead to fulfillment. It doesn't necessarily take me to where I know I want to be. And in that moment, I didn't quite know what the other option would be, the other fork, you know, the side of the road there would be. But I just started being open in my mind to it. And one of my biggest clients at the golf course at the time was a real estate broker, and he owned the company. And that's when he, through conversation, he said, "You don't want to go to Chicago, do you?" And I said, "No." He said, "Go get your real estate license." He said, you'll do great at it." And 2.5 weeks later, I had my real estate license. So no one else in my family has ever been sales. You know, to go to commission only when you come from a line of employees, I was crazy. Like I still remember conversations with my parents, of course, incredibly supportive, but also incredibly terrified for me because they were used to being an employee. And so the thought of this, their young kid who's going to go into this, you make nothing if you don't sell something kind of an environment. It was scary for them. And looking back, I thank God that was the best decision I've ever made in my life without knowing that it was going to be the best decision in my life because it was pivotal. I mean, it's like you're very similar. I know Todd is as well. If you're wired to have that free spirit and the entrepreneurial bug and want to bet on yourself, it's hard to fit into the box that is employee in that way.
I love that. And I love aviation. I'm a big plane geek, as we call ourselves. And so let me go ask a couple questions about the air traffic control, because it sounds like that's a big mess. I mean, it's like playing a big video game, right? With a lot of dots. Yeah. And then you get into real estate, which is a lot of like air traffic control. There's lots of things going on. It's a formula there. When did you decide, or when did you get excited, or even, I guess, get introduced to coaching? And were you a coach before you were coaching, or what's the story on there?
Yeah. So no, I wasn't. I wasn't a coach before. Didn't know what coaching was. Right. And I know we're going to talk about this, but that is really one of the common threads, one of many, but one of the common threads that's brought us together and a number of our other peers together to do what it is we're doing and build what we're building at Success Coaching. But coaching is kind of a nebulous concept. It's watered down. there's not a standard per se, and there's a lot of misconception around what it means. So I was in that group 100%. I had no idea what it really was. I thought coaching was singing Kumbaya, sitting around a campfire playing a guitar. Like, I thought that's what coaching was, but I didn't know what it was. And so when I left Century 21, running that company, I got recruited to Keller Williams to run one of their companies and turn one of those around. And in that process, kudos to Keller Williams, they're the ones that kind of started to begin to teach me what coaching really was, the power that it could have, what it could actually mean. And I fought it at first. I fought it hard because, again, my notion coming into it was one thing. Like, I had a perception of what it was going to be. And they were very persistent. And my business partner who owned the company was very persistent and pushed me into just giving it a try. And my first coach is still, I called him last night. I still, one of my dearest, closest people in my life, and has had the biggest impact on me because he showed me what coaching really was. And it was when I started seeing that I was experiencing wins and that it was me doing the work, but he was helping kind of remove some cobwebs and bring clarity to situations through asking really good questions. When I saw what we accomplished because of that process, that's when I really got bit by that bug and thought, okay, this is where I can see myself really being fulfilled and making an impact on other people.
So your path is very intriguing to me. You get into sales without having any sort of a sales background. You adopt this entrepreneur mindset without anyone in your family having been an entrepreneur before. And I'm assuming you're probably not really surrounding yourself with entrepreneurs other than the guys and gals that are, frequenting the golf club that you worked at, right? So you go into sales and you're very successful in your first couple of years. And then you get approached by a company to come in and turn the company around. And, you built it from like, I can't remember what your numbers were, but it was from a very small percentage in terms of market share, in terms of agents, market share, and that sort of thing. You built it up over the course of a couple of years. What do you think the owner of that company saw in you that they felt like, this person is going to be pivotal for my company in helping turn it around? Number two, the second question, I guess the second layer of it was, what gave you the confidence to know that you could go in there and be successful as that team leader and turning the company around? Because that's a gift. That isn't something that you're born with, right?
No, there's a lot there. I think at first, to get to the first part of your question, I think people oftentimes overcomplicate the process of entrepreneurship and building a company, and they try to make it in more of a skill mindset. Like, I either have or don't have the skills in this industry to build this thing or to grow this company or to do this function of this industry. The reality is, in my opinion, it all comes down to leadership. And I know that phrase has been cheapened over the years, but let's face it. When you know how to connect with people, when you genuinely care about people and you put their needs ahead of your own, you're a true servant leader. I don't care what you're selling. I don't care what the business does. Like, as long as you can move people, a leader is somebody that actually has people following. Otherwise, they're just going for a walk, right? So as long as you can move people to follow you and you do that through genuine care and sharing your heart with them and they feel like they can trust you, when you have that, you can build anything you want. You can turn anything around you want. You don't have to be the expert in a certain thing. Just like when we're all coaching clients, which we all do, we don't have to be better at them than the thing that they're looking to grow or improve on. We just have to genuinely care about them, and we're providing an objective perspective to the situation. And so, I think I've heard from a lot of people is that is the component or the skill set, if you want to call it a skill set, that is lost on a lot of people. And it's rare. It's becoming more rare these days. The ability to connect with people, to make genuine, deep relationship with people and have those established very quickly because they realize they can trust you, that you have their best interest at heart. And so that was kind of leads into the second part of the question. I didn't know. I literally was at Century 21. We built the largest real estate company office in their system out of 8,400 offices at the time. I was 22, I think, years old. I mean, I was a young punk. And we built this huge, massive company, and life was good. I mean, there was a lot of people that looked at me, thought I was crazy for leaving because I was getting paid well, and I was on the top of my game. I was on stage getting these crystal trophy things. Like, life was good. But again, it wasn't fulfilling. Like I hadn't figured out, I didn't know coaching at that point. I didn't know how to help these people. And you, that, in that time when we had that big economic crisis, people were losing cars and houses. And I had grown men in my office crying, like their worlds were imploding. And the thing that really showed me I needed to take another step somewhere forward was I didn't have the skill sets. I didn't have the ability to truly help these people. And it broke my heart watching them go through what they were going through without me being able to assist in any way. And so that's what led me to be open to the opportunity at KW office. I wasn't looking for an opportunity. They called me. Right. And it was through, it's every time I get an opportunity, it's a call coming in and it's based on other people who I've done business with or been associated with. When somebody else says, hey, we're looking for this person, who do you know? They say, oh, you got to call Ben, right? And that's only earned over time with results and consistency of who you are and authenticity of who you are. And so I think that's the second part there is, I didn't know. I told Bonnie, I said, look, I'm going to leave this and we're going to go over here. It was a $22,000 pay cut the first year. And I told her, I said, wow. This is either going to be an amazing thing that we're going to look back on and say, like, this was a turning point. This was an incredible opportunity. And we're so glad we did. Or it's going to be an absolute disaster in a plane crash or a train wreck. And either way, we're young. We can survive it. Right. So do we really have anything to lose? And I think that's the other thing. Fear holds so many people back from so many amazing things and opportunities and learning experiences. Because don't get me wrong, it wasn't all rosy. It wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. Yet if I hadn't have stepped out in faith, if I would have let fear hold me back, I wouldn't have any of the experiences that we've been talking about here. And that would have been at my own peril. Like that would have been my choice. And so I think a lot of times you can't wait until you have all the answers. You can't wait until you feel like you have the skill sets or have everything figured out. Because if you do, you're going to be waiting forever because no one ever has it all figured out.
Well, I love that we've lived in the past, yet we also know the rearview mirror shows things that are behind you, right? So let's go ahead and now focus on the future and the present as well. You're now a success. And we know if you get on Google or Bing or whatever you use to search things, if you put in coach, you're going to find thousands, if not millions of coaching, right? And it's unlike most industries out there where you have to have some continued education, you have to have a certification, you have to have a degree. What makes success coaching different than these either great, great companies out there that are coaching, or the not so great, or even the fakers, I guess that we'd say about coaching? What makes success coaching unique? And number two is, why did you say yes to joining success coaching?
Just before you answer that, just as a matter of interest, when I type in coaching into the Google, there are 2 billion with a B search results that pop up. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. mic drop right there, Kelly. I think that's it. So I am passionate about what coaching truly is because I've seen what it does, the impact that it has, the lives that it changes. So I'm passionate at that. And I truly believe, and I get questions all the time. I did the whole time I was running brokerages. Like, why wouldn't you be selling? You could make way more money than what you're making now. And don't get me wrong. I like making money. I'm a capitalist, right? At the same time, that's not what fulfills me the most. And no judgment. If that's somebody's number one driver, that's your driver. Like, it's not good or bad. But for me, I have to have fulfillment more than just the money, or I'm going to be looking for something different. And so one of the reasons I said yes was, here's this iconic brand, like unabashedly the leader in personal development space, 125 freaking years old, right? It doesn't get better than that. And this name has been out there for so long. It's so well respected. You look at the people that have been on the cover of this magazine, it's mind blowing. And so looking around, to your point, you type in coaching. The challenge with the industry right now is it is so unregulated. It's so unorganized or disorganized that you've got everyone and their dog's uncle's third cousin's brother saying that they're a coach. And the problem is 99% of those people couldn't even tell you what a coach really is. Right? It's like if you go on LinkedIn or social media right now, everyone's a CEO. Everyone's a CEO. If you go back 15 years, 20 years, the title of CEO was reserved for a select few and it meant something. It doesn't mean anything now. I can sell stickers and call myself a CEO of a sticker company that I run out of my Etsy shop. You know what I mean? And again, you're making great money at that. Keep doing it. That's awesome. No judgment. But the point is, we've lost the meaning in a lot of these words, and coach And the coaching industry has definitely been a victim to that. And so the reason I said yes was here was an opportunity to take this brand that has so much going for it, so much history, such a trusted reputation here. And then we have this industry that I'm passionate about that I feel has lost its way and the bar needs to be dramatically raised. And I started seeing, okay, what if we put these two together? How much of an impact could we really have? Like, how could we actually not just impact individuals, but how could we impact the industry? How could we change the industry? And so people are going to see that from us, and it is what it is, but we're going to attack coaching because there's a lot of people coaching that shouldn't be doing it. They're doing more harm than good. It's malpractice. And so that's why I said yes. And then in that moment, that's when I reached out to Todd and to you, Kelly, because I said, okay, how do we selectively handpick? I mean, we have 10 people in my circle right now. Like, that's it. Like, we have to handpick people that are on the same mission, that feel the same way, that have the same values and have the same goal in regards to changing and impacting the industry. Because when we do that, we impact people. And so that's what we've done. And that's how we're here together on this podcast, right? And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this podcast is an extension of that mission.
Can you expand just a little bit on why you think the coaching industry is broken specific to real estate?
Oh my gosh. So I did a podcast with Kendra Hall for the magazine, and we talked a lot about this, and I know we don't have time to go in depth, so I would suggest people go listen to that as well if they want to hear me go on about this more. I get a little heated about it, but here's what I know. Most people have had a quote unquote coaching experience. Now, this is specific for real estate agents or other entrepreneurs, sales-based entrepreneurs. They've had an experience with coaching, and in reality, what it actually is accountability. And accountability is great. Accountability is incredibly important. It's also an important component of coaching. But when you're coaching, if all you're doing is saying, this is how many calls I made, this is how many deals I wrote, here's how many closings I had, that's not coaching. That doesn't change your life, right? That doesn't make you better. That doesn't build your world bigger to bring in more people to impact their worlds. Like, that doesn't change the status quo. That just keeps you bumping along, making money. And money's important. But what's amazing is no matter what study you look at, when people are really asked about what's most important and what motivates them and drives them and fulfills them, money is never at the top spot, right? So coaching specific, like, has to have a component. You have to have money to have a business. You have to make money. The purpose of a business is to make money to fund the business owner's life, right? And those of the business. So again, no issues there. But if the individual's not being pushed to become the best version of themselves they can possibly be, if they're not being pushed to grow in their leadership, in their mindset, to be the best husband, wife, brother, sister, whatever the titles or hats you wear are, if you're not being pushed in those areas of life also, then there's a problem. And so that's what we saw, is that coaching had become one-dimensional. It had been all focused, or a lot of the times is all focused on just the metrics of what it takes to get a deal closed. And the problem is, if the rest of your life is a dumpster fire, it always will eventually spill over. So no matter how good you are at the technical side of your business or whatever business you're in, if you're way out of whack in the other areas of life, it's not sustainable. You're going to burn out. You're going to lose relationships. Like, it's all going to implode. It's a house of cards. And so we really wanted to take a holistic approach. And right, and that's where we came up with the success wheel to really, at the beginning of a relationship, figure out where are you as an individual? Where are you in all these areas? Like, how are you really doing? And not that we're going to focus in on just one of them, but we have to have a clear picture as coaches to know where do we sit today? Because all these other areas of life are absolutely affecting the area that you say you want coaching in. Like, it has to be a holistic approach if it's going to be meaningful and lasting.
So there's 2 billion there's 2 billion searches for the coaching, right, in Google. There's about 8 billion people in the entire world here. So we have a huge gap there. And my guess is it's either two reasons why people are doing coaching. Number one, possibly a bad experience in the past. That's how I got into real estate. I had a bad experience, got in real estate. Or number two, fear may be holding them back. And we know that fear could also mean, in many people's eyes, forget everything and run. How does someone actually overcome that fear, or even the past, the experiences they're creating, the perception that coaching isn't for them? And then why would they not only do coaching, yet choose to go through success coaching and work with, as you said, the best coaches out there, certification? What makes them choose success?
I love that, Todd. So yeah, the forget everything and run, false evidence appearing real. Like, there's a number of these acronyms for describing fear, and they're all true. I think the thing that came to mind when you said that, Maxwell told us in a training, this was years ago, he said a lot of people come to him and say, well, what if I develop my people and they leave? And he said, that's understandable. I get that concern. He said, let me ask you, I think there's a bigger question there. He said, what if you don't train them and they stay? And I think that correlates to what we're talking about here is, yeah, maybe you had a bad experience. Like, there's a lot of idiots out there. Maybe you had a bad experience with somebody who called themselves a coach, and in reality, they have no idea what coaching is. Like, that might be your reality. That might be your truth. And that's fine. Like, I'm sorry. And that just is. Like, life happens. And at the same time, when you're approached with becoming the best version of you in all areas of life to grow your business and your relationships and all of who you are as a person, you're asking yourself a question. Either, what if I try and it's just like last time and it doesn't work? Or what if I don't and I stay right where I am? In my mind, that staying where I am is scarier to me than anything else. It's scarier to me than actually taking the risk to try something, because ultimately, let's face it, if we try something and it doesn't work, like, most of the time, it's not nearly as bad as far as the fallout as we think it's going to be. Like, we can manage the chaos, we can manage the damage, but what do you have to lose? I think you only have something to gain. And it's a lot, for me personally, it was a lot more costly to stay and remain where I was than it was to step out in faith and try again and try something different. And that's what we're attempting to do is create that environment where people can have the confidence to say, this is different. This whole thing is different than what I've been used to. And so as a result, I'm willing to step out in faith and give this a shot, because it will absolutely have an impact.
You know, Ben, I want to go back just a little bit. You had talked a little bit about fear and, you know, fear holding people back. You made this decision to make this jump over to KW, and you know, you're talking about the conversation that you had with your wife, and I remember multiple conversations during multiple times in my life with my wife, jumping from company to company, opportunity to opportunity, and having those exact same conversations. I know how I overcame the fear and through analysis and you know, kind of mapping things out to understand what the potential was for the opportunity. And from there, I can make a yes or no judgment, right? It's either yes, I'm all in, or no, I'm going to move away from it. I'm curious about what your process was to overcome that fear, to ensure that going into that new venture, that new thing that you were going to do, that you felt like you were going to be successful.
Yeah, Kelly, that's a great question. So the process, and again, I think it's going to be different for everybody, but the process that I went through is I had to come to the understanding that the fear was an emotion. In my situation, I think for most people's, fear was an emotion. It was something I was feeling. And the minute that I was able to remove the emotion from the decision and go more towards the logic of it, I gained a lot of clarity on the risk versus the reward, that the risk was much lower than what it felt like the risk was, and that the reward was much bigger than I initially had thought. And so that process culminated into the decision to move forward, to take the leap, because ultimately everything involves risk. I think that's a lie we all tell ourselves too, is that there's a safe path. There's a path we can take that doesn't involve risk. Walking across the street is a risk, right? So if we let fear run our lives, which that's really apropos for today, right, in the world, if we let fear run our lives, we'll end up hermits that have forgotten all of the people's names that we used to know, and we'll die alone, right? So at some point, we have to be okay taking risks. We have to cross that street. We have to go to that meeting. It's just coming down to how do we manage it appropriately and manage the risk associated, making sure that the risk taken is worth the potential to return.
That's awesome, Ben. So the greatest thing is that it shows you that fear can hold you back. Yet also, if you're okay with overcoming that fear, you can move yourself forward in life. And my next question for you is this. We know that we've talked about the certification portion. We know there's lots of coaches out there that may not be coaches. We know there's lots of coaching companies out there, neither good or bad. When we really focus on the future of success coaching and where we are today to where we desire to be, let's say 1 year from today, can you share any of the details of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Todd, you know, like we've talked about, and you know this, but we see really the impact that we can have on the industry in essentially two different ways. The first being the certification course that we do. And so again, if they want more information, we'll link down below where they can find out more about it. This isn't a sales pitch, but the one way we can impact people is by raising that bar, right? Elevating the standards of coaches in our industry. So even if these people never want to work with us as a coach, that's okay. We offer a 5-day intensive certification where they leave a success certified coach. They also leave with a DISC behavioral certification from Dr. Michael Abelson, who's the world's leader in the DISC behavioral profile. We offer that to the world so that they can come, coaches can come, get certified, and then go back out and coach their own people independent of us. But again, that's one way we can help raise that bar globally. Right. The second way is that we are training coaches that we have on our own team, so that if people don't have a coach but they want one, they don't know where to go, we want to be that go-to place where they can come to be coached in any aspect of life or business.
So what I hear you saying is that this is a win-win for both people, the coaches and the clients.
Yeah, that's how we're going to have the most impact in our opinion. We need to be able to serve both, right? Because it's like anything else. When we pour into the leaders, or in this case, the coaches, that trickles down and impacts everyone that they're impacting, that they're coaching. And at the same time, we're creating an ecosystem where those coaches can come in and be in community and be trained. It does nothing but both sides, but help the individual person out there who's wanting life change. We're going to help get them there further and faster.
Well, I know you don't make this an infomercial yet. I would like to talk just a little bit about the certification program that we did last month. When Ben says intensive, he means intensive. And the crazy thing about it was long days. What was it, 9.5 hours?
Yeah, almost 10 hours a day.
Yeah, 10 hours a day for 5 days with a couple of days here and there for breaks. I'm a guy who has been known, and if you know who I am, I'm the guy that walks in a room, waits for the lights to turn off, and then either I leave during the first standing ovation or I do the slow army crawl of the room, right? And somehow I was able to be immersed in all of the material. And this wasn't an in-person event. This was actually through video where I could not hide. I could not disappear. And those 50 hours or 48 hours of material went by really quickly. And we had, 30 people in there total? And we had, as you said, Dr. Abelson from the DISC certification. And it shows you just the community that we built that quickly, right? 5 days we were together and we're almost like a family. And the nice thing about it is it's not real estate coaches. We had people from all walks of life there. So if people do have interest in the success certification program, the best way to do that is to go to success.com/coaching. And you'll find more information there as well, right, Ben?
Yep. They can also go to successcoachingcertification.com and it'll take them to an info page about it. But to your point, yeah, we had coaches from every walk of life. We had one coach who's 26 or 27 years in the business and said, this is by far, we're going to have the testimonials up here shortly, but he said, this is by far the best certification he's ever taken. And we had people that they wanted to get into coaching and this was their first step, right? So, and everything in between. So this is for anyone, whether they've been in it for 30 years or they want to get into it or anywhere in between, to come level up their skill sets to be able to go back and have a bigger impact on their people.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Ben. Really appreciate your time today. It's always great being able to get to talk to you. I know it's tough to get you on the phone sometimes, like Don says, like all the time. But hey, we are actually able to nail you down for this podcast. So thank you, my friend. Really appreciate it. Make sure that you listen to our podcast anywhere that you get your podcasts, on Spotify, on Apple, on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure that you download this episode. You aren't going to want to miss this.
Thank you, guys. It was awesome being here. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Warning, the following audio is performed by highly trained professionals under expert supervision. Please don't try this at home or anywhere else.
Watermelon, 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 watermelon.
She sells seashells by the seashore.
I love scotch. Scotch, scotch, scotch.
I, Ben. Me, Todd. I, Kelly. All right, well, welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. I'm your host.
Hold up.
Todd is interrupting me once again. I was on par.
Oh, that was money, too.
All right, well, welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. I am your host. I'm your co-host. I'm your Todd host. I am eating toast. I love toast. eggs and toast. Welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. I'm your co-host, Kelly Scar, here today with my other co-host.
Me, Todd.
I didn't know what the handoff was.
You know, I had it earlier and you guys just made me lose it. So, all right, here we go. Welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. I am your co-host, Kelly Scar, and we are here today with our other co-host,
Todd Foster,
and our other co-host, Ben Fairfield. And today we're going to be interviewing Ben.
This is where I'm confused.
I don't know my name. I think, Kelly, you just say his name and skip over him, and then he'll jump in after.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, Ben, it's great to have you here as our interviewer. Wait, I don't know what I'm saying here.
Welcome to the Success of Blair.
The man with a plan.